Canva.
Yeah, it is. In sports, as in business, if you look good, you feel good, and you play good.
That's why we love Canva. It's simply the best online graphic design software we've ever used.
Neither one of us are designers, and yet both of us have created beautiful designs for our business using Canva.
We designed our merch on Canva.
We designed our social posts on Canva.
We designed the signs for our T-Boy Live show on Canva.
True story. Oh, and Canva isn't just for startups or entrepreneurs either, because 90% of Fortune 500 companies now use Canva.
But it definitely is for startups like us, the T-Boy Podcast Media Company.
Our creative director literally said she cannot live without Canva.
And we believe her. It'll make your business look good, which will make you feel good, and you'll perform better.
So Yeti, start designing today at canva.com. Canva, designed for work.
This episode is sponsored by Audible, the home of storytelling.
Protect her.
That's from the opening chapter of The Last Thing He Told Me.
Or is it protect her?
It's protect her.
Yeah, it's like that.
It's a thrilling mystery my wife and I listened to on Audible.
It actually got adapted into a TV show, but it was way more riveting as an audiobook, wasn't it, man?
It's about a tech executive who disappears when his company gets indicted on accounting fraud.
But he disappeared to protect her. And honestly, we shouldn't say anymore. Let's stop
that. We listened to the whole audiobook on Audible while driving in the car on road trips.
And you should too. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog.
New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/T-Boy or text T-Boy to 500-500.
That's audible.com/T-Boy or text T-Boy to 500-500. Airbnb.
It's wedding season.
Yes, it is. What's going on, baby?
Alex and I just got invited to a beautiful venue for the wedding of a childhood buddy of mine.
Lovely. Can't wait to hear about
it. We got babysitters. We're all set to go.
And the first thing that you did, Jack?
Book a hotel for the wedding.
Okay, second thing that you did?
List my place as available that weekend on Airbnb.
Millions of people host on Airbnb, but millions more have never even thought about hosting.
Here's the thing. We've said it's great to make money while you sleep. Actually, Warren Buffett said that.
Well, when you're an Airbnb host, you make money while you sleep and while someone else sleeps.
That's why anytime I'm traveling, I immediately jump into Airbnb and set my house as available. It's that easy.
So Yetis, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. This is Nick.
This is Jack.
Welcome back. It is Monday, November 6th, and today's pod, it is the best one yet. It's a T-Boy, Jack.
Last week, the stock market had its best week so far of all the year.
The best week of the year. Yetis, the S&P 500 rose 5% last week. Not too shabby.
5% in 5 days, and the stock market is win to celebrate.
Sit down, stand up, and put the McRib back on the menu. There we go.
A non-win to celebrate. I got chapped lips. It's that time of the year. My lips are going to be addicted to chapstick.
It's going to be dry out there. I don't know what to do.
It's a brutal season, isn't it?
I'm going to send you some gummy bears. I feel like gummy bears could hit to fix the situation.
I need some Ricola, too.
I'm sending you both.
It's not a dry heat. It's a dry cold.
Doctor's orders. Let's get this guy a prescription.
For gummy bears. First story. What do we got on the show, Jack?
After 20 years, can the pumpkin spice latte still drive sales?
Well, Starbucks' earnings report just gave us the answer.
But the bigger story is how the pumpkin spice flavor almost never happened.
Cliffhanger. Second story, what do we got, Jack?
For our second story, Clorox just had its worst quarter ever because it was crippled by a cyber attack.
Cyber attacks, they've become the natural disasters of business.
And our third and final story is Sam Bankman-Fried. He was convicted of 7 federal crimes. He is officially Sam Bankman-Fried.
And the biggest red flag of all was his clothing.
But Yetis, before we hit that wonderful mix of stories.
Fantastic mix of stories, Jack.
We're checking out Hoarder's Almanac, week 190.
Hoarder's Almanac, week 190. Things we're running out of in the economy. Jack and I been keeping track for you.
This week, we're running out of LOL.
LOL. Yetis, the acronym LOL. You know, laugh out loud.
For years, we've all been texting and messaging LOL.
Yeah, apparently we are MIA of LOL.
And if it's really funny, LOL.
Yeah, a couple more LOLs. Because Yetis, millennials, we love LOL.
Because millennials, we invented the LOL.
Yeah, Jack and I jumped in T-Boy style. According to Vice Media, the first ever LOL was LOL'd in an internet chat room back in 1988.
1988, the year Nick and I were born. Great year. It's a millennial year.
And LOL has defined our generation's communication ever since.
LOL. Not to be confused with lots of love, by the way.
Good point. You don't want to LOL when Nana's in the hospital, do you, Jack?
No. Although my father-in-law once said, Nana's in the hospital, LOL. Well, I'm like, what's going on?
LOL is laughing out loud. It is not lots of love.
But get this, Yetis. According to the New York Times, LOL's usage is disappearing.
Get that! Gen Z apparently does not like the LOL.
Instead of LOL, Gen Z prefers IJBOL.
Yeah, Gen Z isn't LOLing, they're IJBOLing, which stands for I Just Burst Out Laughing.
I Just Burst Out Laughing is replacing Laugh Out Loud.
IJBOL replaces LOL. But Jack, can we sprinkle on a little more context to IJBOL?
The origin of IJBOL is a surprising place. It began in Korea.
Apparently, Korean kids watching K-pop began texting IJBOL in order to express laughter.
Yeah, IJBOL, the new thing to text, it came from Korea, even though it's English.
And now it's going viral in America.
And it makes sense, because we've all typed LOL so many times, we're not even actually laughing out loud anymore.
If you do laugh out loud, honestly, it really starts with a burst.
So Yetis, this week when you're texting your buddy Timmy and you start to laugh,
do not LOL.
Don't ROFL either.
And absolutely, under no circumstances should you ever LMFAO.
Instead, try IJBOL.
Each bowl. I just burst out laughing.
Each bowl. It's the new cool thing to do. Millennial LOL. It's retired.
It's been nice knowing you.
Who's laughing out loud now?
Jack, let's hit our three stories. 15 years before this song, two boys from the Northeast met in the dorm. They had an idea to cause a cultural storm. It's the best one yet, but the best is the norm. Jack, Nick, that's it. I don't even think they need to practice. 50%, that's a fat tip. T-Boy City on your at list. If you know, you know, cause we ready to go. We can't wait no more, so just start the show. Start the show. For our first story, Starbucks just had its best quarter ever, and it's all thanks to one thing, pumpkin spice.
The PSL has only gotten stronger, but the PSL almost never happened.
Yeti, Starbucks earnings were so strong last week that the stock jumped 12%. Jack and I had to sit down, stand up, and just stay seated on this one.
Starbucks' corporate valuation hit $120 billion.
Jack, can you sprinkle on a little more context there, please?
In the food category, they only trail McDonald's.
They only trail McDonald's. Oh, and looking ahead, Yetis, Starbucks ain't stopping. It's like they're drinking their own stuff.
They already have a shocking 38,000 stores across the world.
That's a lot of stores, Jack, and
they're adding 17,000 more to hit 55,000 stores by 2030.
Yetis, Starbucks is on pace to add 3,000 new stores every single year.
I think that's 10 stores a day. For those math majors out there.
Oh, and guess what? The sales last quarter, they jumped 11% to a record high.
Starbucks' $10 billion in sales last quarter is the same as every human in North America buying 4 cups of Starbucks.
But Yetis, here's what Jack and I found fascinating about this story. There's a lingering question all fall long, and here was that question.
After 20 years, does the pumpkin spice still have its fall magic?
After 2 decades, can pumpkin spice still drive sales?
Starbucks' earnings showed us the answer.
And the answer is that pumpkin spice is only getting stronger.
The CEO of Starbucks said last week that pumpkin spice latte sales continue to stand the test of time.
PSL for the win. He said that they just keep growing, like more than they even expected right now.
There was a huge risk that PSL was a fad, but it's an enduring sales driver.
Oh, a great example of this, Starbucks decided to offer pumpkin spice 1 week earlier this August than they typically do.
And that boosted store traffic by 26%. People came to Starbucks just for PSL.
26% more Americans walked into a Starbucks because it was available a week earlier when it was 85 degrees outside.
Now, this fall flavor is a uniquely American thing, right? Pumpkin spice latte?
Yeah, hot dogs, Cracker Jacks, and pumpkin spice with your sweater. Absolutely.
Turns out PSL is also one of our greatest exports.
Get this, pumpkin spiced cream chai tea? That was driving sales internationally for Starbucks.
Sales of tea?
Tea. Got spiced.
And as we told you earlier in the year on this pod, Starbucks introduced competition to pumpkin spice latte this fall.
Starbucks introduced the autumn apple flavor, which many people thought would hurt Starbucks PSL sales.
But it didn't. The CEO said that competition boosted sales of both flavors to a record this fall.
Jack and I are looking at the situation. It's like the Barbenheimer of the coffee bean. Like they both were better because they were there.
Pumpkin spice latte already made September and October Starbucks' best 2 months of the year every year.
But this year, pumpkin spice gave Starbucks its best quarter ever. But pumpkin spice, almost didn't happen. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for all our buddies who may be drinking pumpkin spice?
The PSL is a lesson in ignoring customers.
Yetis, the car innovator Henry Ford once said, "If I'd asked customers what they wanted, they would have said a faster horse."
Steve Jobs once said, "People don't know what they want until you show it to them."
Well, similarly, Starbucks almost didn't launch the pumpkin spice latte because customers didn't want it 20 years ago.
In 2003, the inventor of pumpkin spice, Peter Dukes, he tested 10 new flavors with 500 customers.
And Jack, those 500 customers, what were their favorite flavors in that bunch?
Chocolate, caramel, cinnamon, in that order.
Pumpkin spice, it was confusing. Customers didn't get what the pumpkin flavor was. It wasn't even in the top five of their choices.
So based on that customer research, most companies would have not chosen the thing that wasn't even in the top five.
And yet, Starbucks leaders had the product intuition that this new flavor, it was going to land.
So they launched pumpkin spice latte, despite the customer research telling them otherwise.
Yeah, it is the pumpkin spice latte, the bold case when ignoring customers was the right move. For our second story, Clorox was hit with a huge cyber attack that has devastated sales.
And this one hack has revealed how much of your home is dependent on Clorox.
Yetis, 3 months ago, out of all the companies you'd expect to get hacked, Clorox, the cleaning supply company, got hacked.
It wasn't just a computer hack. It was a factory hack, and it was huge.
A cyber attack shut down Clorox factories. 275 employees down in Georgia, they couldn't do their work for Clorox.
We just got the numbers. The cyber attack this summer was so bad for Clorox that sales fell by 31%.
Clorox's stock just hit a five-year low.
For a company with such regular, consistent sales as Clorox, a 31% drop is unheard of.
Absolutely, because 3 months in, Clorox's operations, they are still not 100% back to normal.
The hack is over now, but Clorox is still recovering from it.
Oh, and the villain in this situation? We know who it is, don't we, Jack?
Well, we know the name, but we don't know the people behind it.
It's an anonymous hacker group that goes by the name Scattered Spider.
It's the same hackers that shut down the casino in Vegas, and we hope the FBI tracks him down and takes him to justice.
We also hope that this is the plot of the next James Bond movie, because honestly, it feels like this could be, Jack.
I think this was the plot of the recent Mission Impossible.
A worldwide shortage of toilet cleaner brings James back from a luxurious vacation in the Bahamas.
Take that, money, Penny.
You got this, 00. But Yetis, here's what Jack and I found fascinating about this story. The absence of Clorox has revealed something else about Clorox.
Clorox has a monopoly on your home.
Yetis, Clorox basically has a monopoly on all the products in your pantry. And you know what? Each one of those Clorox products is the market leader.
Let's start in the bathroom and make our way to the kitchen, shall we?
Love that idea, Jack. Let's start in the bathroom with Clorox bleach. They're like classic OG product.
Clorox bleach owns 68% of the bleach market.
68% of the bleach market is Clorox bleach.
How about toilets? Clorox toilet cleaner is also number one in the category,
with 41% of the toilet cleaning market going at Clorox.
Garbage bags? Clorox owns Glad. Don't get mad, get Glad.
Glad garbage bags, also number one in the market with 40% of the industry.
And even Hidden Valley Ranch is owned by Clorox.
We repeat, those wings that you're dipping right now into ranch dressing, Clorox owns Hidden Valley Ranch.
And of course, that's number one in the category too.
Because we can't even name another ranch dressing, can we, Jack?
No offense, Paul Newman.
And Yetis, because of this hack, Clorox's dominant position in every single one of those markets is now vulnerable.
The hack caused shortages of Clorox products this summer, so customers had no choice but to try out the number two brand.
Whether it's bleach, whether it's toilet cleaner, or whether it's a salad dressing. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for all our buddies with monopoly on our pantries over at Clorox?
Cyber attacks have become the natural disaster of business.
Yetis, Jack and I have noticed a change in cyber attacks. The damage is no longer just to computers and data, is it, man?
Cyber attacks have been shutting down hotels. They're shutting down factories. They're causing shortages of physical things like a natural disaster.
Exactly. The consequences of a cyber attack used to be digital, but now they're physical.
And like a natural disaster, who suffers from the next cyber attack? It seems completely random.
Last year was a meat processor, then it was a gas pipeline, then it was the casinos, and now it's Clorox and Hidden Valley Ranch dressing people.
But cyber attacks aren't an act of nature. They're an act of man.
We are not powerless to stop a hacking, like we are powerless to stop a hurricane.
Now, yes, companies should shore up their own cybersecurity situation and like two-factor authenticate all the passwords.
But yet, we're also going to need a public policy to prevent them.
Because cyber attacks, they become like the natural disasters of business. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Yetis, how good is the feeling of finally getting something off your chest?
You've been wanting to say it. You've been waiting to say it.
But you bottled it up.
In Waspy, Vermont, where I grew up, we didn't talk much about our problems. We were encouraged to keep them to yourself.
Yetis, bottling up your feelings is just horrible for you because eventually it blows up with an outburst. And then while it's stewing, it makes your whole stomach feel terrible.
We encourage you to get it off your chest. And the perfect place to do that is therapy.
You will not believe how good it feels to say something that has been left unsaid, and you can practice with a therapist and then end up telling your loved ones the best way possible later on.
You don't have to tell them, but you could. It's 100% up to you. Oh, and by the way, what you tell your therapist remains completely confidential.
So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/T-Boy today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/T-Boy.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
For our third and final story, Sam Bankman-Fried was just convicted in one of the biggest financial frauds in history.
What does his guilty verdict teach us? A lesson about fashion.
Yetis, for the last year, we've been calling Sam Bankman-Fried, SBF, an alleged criminal. Right, Jack? Alleged.
But now he's not alleged anymore. He's just a criminal.
Yeah, we're going to cut the alleged, cut the asterisks on this thing. It's just straight up criminal after last week.
Sam Bankman-Fried is a fraud, according to a jury of his peers.
And that jury verdict was apparently like a really easy decision, wasn't it, Jack?
It took the jury just 5 hours to reach a guilty verdict on all 7 charges that he faced.
It took him just 5 hours. We've had dinners that lasted longer than this decision.
Now a judge is going to sentence him to prison in March, and he could face up to 115 years in prison.
Besties, somewhere in Hollywood, Hulu is already prepping the documentary.
They're casting for a crazy guy with crazy hair.
But Yetis, now that the facts of this case are official, let's recap what Sam Bankman-Fried's crimes really were.
And let's do it in relatable terms.
Besties, imagine your local bank. Like everyone in your town or your city, they've got an account at your local savings and loan banking institution.
Well, Sam Bankman-Fried was the bank manager. But he secretly withdrew customers' money without them knowing and then spent their customers' money.
And he used customer money to make political donations and invest in risky crypto startups.
And he used that customer money to buy houses in the Bahamas for himself, his family, and his friends.
SBF even paid comedy legend Larry David a whopping $10 million just to do a one-minute TV commercial.
Nick, the man's a sociopath. He paid $55 million to Tom Brady. $55 million of customer money to do 20 hours of work and make FTX look cool.
$55 million to basically hang out with Tom Brady, take a few selfies, and play a few video games. That was it.
Then, after all that money was spent by Sam Bankman-Fried, when customers came back and asked for their money, where'd my money go? It was gone.
And Sam Bankman-Fried was able to do all of this because it was crypto, which is unregulated.
And he did it from the Bahamas, which is even more unregulated.
So customers had no way to get their money back because crypto, unlike your basic savings account, has no FDIC insurance.
The official crimes he was guilty of were securities fraud, wire fraud, and money laundering.
And that's why he could go away for nearly 115 years.
But in simpler terms, he betrayed customer trust in the worst possible way.
He spent their money.
He spent money that wasn't his.
So, Jack, what's the takeaway for all our buddies who've been following this crypto fraud?
Founder fashion has become a red flag.
Yet he's Sam Bankman-Fried's brand. It was built around his outfit, like his T-shirt, his cargo shorts, and his self-proclaimed crazy hair.
His unique look was a signal. He defied convention with fashion just like many geniuses in history have.
And you know what? That signal, like, it works. Like Albert Einstein's head of hair, it became the symbol for his genius.
And Steve Jobs' jeans and black turtleneck. Or Zuckerberg's hoodies and sandals.
But besties, in the last 5 years, some tech icons have manipulated that fashion formula in order to gain trust.
Elizabeth Holmes dressed up just like Steve Jobs.
Adam Newman dressed up just like Jesus.
And Sam Bankman-Fried dressed up like he didn't care.
Yetis, we have fallen into a pattern of idolizing innovators. But now we realize that those innovators were wearing a costume.
And the costume of founder is now officially a red flag.
Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us to kick off the week?
Starbucks just served up its best quarter ever, as the pumpkin spice latte is not going away.
The PSL. It's a bold case when ignoring customer research was the right move.
For our second story, Clorox sold 30% less product over the last 3 months because of a cyber attack.
Cyber attacks, they become the natural disasters of business.
And our third and final story is Sam Bankman-Fried. He's now a convicted fraud and could go to jail for the rest of his life.
Founder fashion is a red flag.
But Yetis, this pod's not over yet. Here's what else you need to know today.
The October jobs report. We just got it. Here's what we got. Here are the numbers. 150,000 new jobs were added last month, and the unemployment rate ticked up to 3.9%.
Now, both of those are actually less than previous months, but taken as good news because the Fed wants the economy to slow down.
They want it to chill out a bit. And second, after 30 years, Mr. Jeff Bezos of Amazon is leaving Seattle and moving to Miami.
He says he loves Seattle, but he wants to be near his Blue Origin rockets, which take off at a Cape Canaveral.
And finally, Yetis, remember when we did that story on AI landlords? Like algorithms that were choosing your rent price? That story got big. We got a lot of DMs on that story.
Well, a cartel of landlords was just sued in Washington, D.C. for using the software we told you about to collude on high rents.
AI landlords, you're not going to get away with it. Now, time for the best fact yet. This one DM'd to us by Nolan Stack down in lovely Texas.
Last week, we covered a story about Six Flags, the theme park, which was merging in an $8 billion deal.
Now, a lot of Yetis out there would want to know, why is the Six Flags amusement park called Six Flags?
Yeah, what are the Six Flags?
Well, the answer is the six flags that have flown over Texas.
It's a great trivia question. What are the six flags that have ruled the state of Texas?
Unlike any other state, Texas has had more flags control it than any other state.
The first flag was the flag of Spain, which ruled Texas for a while.
The second flag was the flag of France over Texas.
At one point, Mexico came north and claimed Texas as their own.
And then the fourth flag over Texas was the Republic of Texas, because Texas was once its own independent country.
Now, the fifth flag was obvious, the United States of America, which still flies over Texas today.
But the sixth flag is not as obvious, and the sixth flag over Texas was the Confederacy.
Yeti, six flags have flown over the state of Texas.
And Six Flags is the name of their favorite theme park.
You eat the popcorn, you throw up popcorn.
Six times. Now, Yetis, you look fantastic to kick off the week. Jack, honestly, at the end of the show, you had me neither LOLing nor OFOLing or LMAOing. I was definitely IJBOLing.
Yeah, how do you pronounce it? Ijbool?
I was Ijbowling, Jack.
I was Ijbowling.
Yetis, if you end up Ijbowling on something today, let us know. Hit us up at TBoyPod. And if you haven't yet, check out T-Boy Pod on Instagram. We got some fun stuff going on right now.
And if you each bowl during this pod, write us a review and let us know what you like.
There's nothing wrong with an each bowl review.
All right, we got any more CTAs for these Yetis, Nick?
I think we're done, Jack. I think we're done.
Yetis, Nick, and I, we'll see you tomorrow.
We'll see you for T-Boy Tuesday. And before we go, a happy birthday and happy engagement to Jordan Klein, who is celebrating both of those wins over in San Francisco.
Happy birthday to Laura Frederico in Morristown, New Jersey.
And Wendy D.D. Oppenheim, the maker of banana bread, is celebrating a birthday in Southwest Ranches, Florida.
And happy birthday to Juan Zavala, who's celebrating his 38th with friends and family in Illinois.
And because of this pod, Jack, Juan jumped into the stock market. Juan, you got this. Good luck out there.
And congratulations to Lauren and David, who just got married in Washington, D.C.
And their puppy, Bentley, was officiating the whole thing.
Because puppy. People ultimately prioritize puppies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Beth Neal has got a new job at Boston University. Congratulations, Beth.
Congratulations to Azizi Williams and Malika Amandi, who launched a podcast, Happier Ladies.
And Amy Gruenhut just ran her third New York City Marathon. And Roberto Carlos just ran his first New York City Marathon. And congratulations to everyone who finished the New York City Marathon.
And to anyone else who's celebrating something today, make it a T-boy.
Celebrate the wins.
This is Jack. I own stock of Amazon, and Nick and I both own ETFs of the S&P 500. Last week, stocks had their best week of the year so far.
Yetis, the S&P 500 rose 5% last week. Here, Jack, hit me off with more of a bang on that. Stocks just had their best week ever. You're feeling it. It's the best week stocks have had. You're going to go get that truck. Your portfolio is marginally up. What's going on there, Jack? How are you feeling now?
My portfolio is up less than the S&P 500, which always sucks.
Jack, it's always what is a bad going feeling. On last week?
If I had done less, I would have done more.
Jack, what's going on in the market? Something's going on. Feed the energy.
Stocks
what's going
had
on,
their
man?
Best week of the year last week. If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.